fighting for America.
Mr. President, in 2010, you called the results of the midterm election shellacking. What do you call this?
Obviously, Republicans had a good night.
Fighting for Idaho.
The president continues to act on his own. He is going to poison the well. When you play with matches, you take the risk of burning yourself. And he's going to burn himself if he continues to get down this path.
Fighting for you.
Why isn't our government doing something about this? I'll be the first one to say it. President Obama does not care about postpartum Taylor Swift disorder.
I'm pretty sure that's why the Democrats lost the Senate.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
A blessing to be with you, Kevin Miller in the Morning here at 580 KIDO. Really good to be with you. It's our first chilly day of the year, and it reminds me of the need, folks, to help those people that are less fortunate. Join us coming up on Monday. We'll be living at the Walmart at Garrity and Franklin. Our third or fourth year of Miller's Mission. I think it's our fourth Miller's Mission because we've been doing them twice a year, and we will be collecting turkeys. That's right, turkeys to be given to families that wouldn't have turkeys without your kind generosity. We are collecting turkeys. We are collecting, I'm trying to think of what else we're collecting, food, clothes, any item that can make a family's Thanksgiving that much more special than without it. You know, some of us are so blessed back from the abyss. Some of us are wondering, my goodness gracious, what would happen to us if we lost our jobs, if we lost our homes? And it's great nonprofit entities like the Boise Rescue Mission that make it a difference. More information at 580kido.com, or better yet, stop out and see me. I know it's a long drive, but we really would appreciate those turkeys beginning Monday. And we do want to thank our friends at Team Mazda, Team Subaru, and Caldwell off the Boulevard for helping us out, making that happen. Nelson's RVs, we do appreciate their fine support as well. Well, the President of the United States, we kind of touched on this the other day.
Internet providers have a legal obligation not to block or limit your access to a website.
The president wants the
internet. The public
has
already commented nearly 4 million times asking the FCC to make sure that consumers, not the cable company, gets to decide which sites they use.
The president wants the internet regulated. Joining us now, Dr. Lomero, to talk about it. Dr. Lomero, good to have you with us once again.
It's great to be back with you. And by the way, congratulations on all that good work. I think getting those turkeys for people is wonderful.
Well, thank you very much, sir. We thought of you immediately when we heard the president's comments. He doesn't want anything bad to happen. He wants the government to jump in there and make sure everything is fair. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think he's got it exactly backwards. He mentioned about having a free and open internet. Well, guess what? He's trying to take us back to 1934 and the time of the FDR administration when they started the Federal Communications Commission, and they decided to regulate wire and radio, in particular phone service. And it created monopolies. And it was the opposite of what happened in 1996 when they passed the Telecommunications Act, which basically deregulated and promoted more competition. We all know that more competition provides more innovation, more investment, new services, new products, and it's just better for the economy. You know, Senator Ted Cruz came up with what I think is one of the most clever statements for what this is, net neutrality. Well, the way he said it was net neutrality is Obamacare for the Internet. The Internet should not operate at the speed of government.
Why all of a sudden is the president interested in this?
Well, I think his natural tendency is toward the government regulating everything. There are political reasons. You know, you can favor people and favor companies and that sort of thing. But I think just in general, there's a tendency in this administration to want to regulate every aspect of our lives. And let's face it, that's not good for the economy.
How would, if the president gets his way, how would that impact folks?
Well, I think without a doubt, it'll probably raise prices. Because of the regulations, it's going to force cable companies to offer certain services to certain people that are not as productive. as allowing those companies to do what's in the best interest of the consumer. They're more likely to provide services at the prices consumers can afford if they're allowed to do it freely. We all know that competition brings down prices. Laser eye surgery, cosmetic surgery, two examples in the healthcare field where you don't have government regulation, and guess what? The prices keep coming down. Where you do have government regulation and Obamacare, everybody's prices are going up. I mean, this is just another example of government takeover and overregulation. And guess what? We made a mistake in 1934 to regulate phone services as much as it was. And in 1996, we decided to deregulate it, and all sorts of new things have come along, and prices have dropped. Do you remember when you used to have to pay for each long-distance phone call?
Oh, my goodness.
Do you do that today?
Right, no.
Yeah. So regulations don't work, and they also stifle new job creation, and they increase costs. Sometimes they create shortages. That's common. We're seeing that in the healthcare industry. So unfortunately, net neutrality is just a fancy schmancy word for regulating the Internet. And guess what? It's not going to work any better, and it's going to create monopolies, and consumers, their costs are going to go up. So you can have fancy rhetoric and fancy terms, but the bottom line is, what helps the consumers? And we all know competition makes for better products, services that are cheaper and provide more innovation.
What about the idea of censorship?
That's another issue. You get government regulations involved. There can be subtle forms of censorship. There can be subtle ways of helping your friends. There's more power, and where there's power, there are going to be people who abuse it.
And, of course, the president wouldn't like that if, you know, the stuff that gets out, all of a sudden, you know, he would like the opportunity, I think. Any government, Republican or Democrat, would like the opportunity. Why do they call it net neutrality? It seems like the exact opposite.
Well, you know, that's the way it works with socialism and Marxism. It's sort of like doublethink in the book 1984. You just call things other things to confuse people. The more confusion there is, the less, you know, the typical average person has the time to dig deep and find out what it really means. Give it a nice name, and it'll sound better. How about pro-choice, you know, in the abortion industry? Is it really a choice? And are we in favor of choice? Well, there's no choice for the baby getting aborted.
Right. Exactly.
Same thing here. It's just a fancy, schmancy term for regulating the Internet. Instead of saying the regulation of the Internet, they say net neutrality because nobody knows what that means.
Right.
It sounds good.
It is kind of like healthcare, if you will. We don't know what it means, but we'll know it when we have it.
That's right. And the same thing with net neutrality. We'll know when we have it, but we can expect right now prices are going to go up, innovation's going to go down, the number of jobs will go down. And I remember talking on the radio in 2010 when they were debating Obamacare, and I said all the things that were going to happen, and guess what? They're all happening. And that's why the co-payments are going up and the premiums are skyrocketing, and those doctors you're going to keep, they're all retiring because they can't afford the payments from Obamacare. And the ones who aren't retiring, they're getting scarce.
Well, let's hear from the president, and we'll have you respond to him here at 580KIDO.
Okay.
There are no gatekeepers deciding which sites you get to access. There are no toll roads on the information superhighway.
So he's going to get rid of the gatekeepers. Let's hear more from the president.
I'm asking them to recognize that for most Americans, the Internet has become an essential part of everyday communication and everyday life.
It sounds harmless there, like he's pro the Internet. But, you know, that whether we like it or not, you have an incredible amount of freedom that you don't have anywhere else on the net, that you don't have in any form of communication.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, he seems to get everything backwards, but so do most socialists. They get everything backwards. They think the government somehow, by regulating it, is going to create more freedom. Guess what? It creates less freedom. I mean, isn't that common sense? If you regulate something, the people who are doing it have less freedom to package services in a cheaper way. Look at all the great packages now where you get your text and your, you know, your all your different services bundled together at a cheap price, and that basically they're going to have to put out things that only conform to the government approach, whatever the government in their infinite wisdom, will regulate with. And so you're basically looking at just the opposite. I'm afraid to say that if this goes through, it's going to hurt consumers, and that's what I'm interested in. What is the average American citizen going to feel from this? The answer is higher prices, fewer jobs, fewer innovation.
Dr. Lamero, if people want to get a hold of you, what can they do?
Well, you can go to the quick way to get to my website, because most people have trouble spelling my name, is renewingamericabook.com, which is my new book that came out recently, renewingamericabook.com. People who read it seem to love it, and that talks a lot about all of these different issues with freedom. It tries to cover all the important things where the government is limiting our freedom and where it's inhibiting our economy and hurting the average American. And if you want to know what freedom-loving Americans can do to help the country, this book provides that information, not only to help educate people on what's going on, but help them to deal with it and to change it. And certainly the elections will make a big change by putting a lot of good people in office that we've elected around the country. So we're seeing America taking up the challenge on government encroachment on our freedom and our Constitution.
You know, you've also written America's Economic War, Your Freedom, Money, and Life. What do you make of our dynamic where the president goes over and hangs out with the Chinese? Is that our way to economic freedom?
I don't think virtually anything he does helps our freedom. He seems to ignore the Constitution at every turn. I don't know, you know, specifically if it does any good. I certainly believe in talking to everybody around the world. I'm not against our president talking to people. But bottom line, what are the policies that are going on? Are you going to allow open borders to the south? Are you going to allow Ebola patients who are sick to come in and possibly get others sick and cause an epidemic here? If you look at the policies of this administration across the board, healthcare, communications, it's just terrible. By the way, while we're on net neutrality in the Internet, there's another big thing coming up here, which I wrote about in my blog. By the way, people can read my blog that comes out usually every Sunday or Monday. Was this ICANN, I-C-A-N-N, that manages the Internet, and the new regulations they proposed after America gives up control of the Internet next September would allow virtually any country, including Russia and Putin, to basically take anybody off the Internet, because they would have, in effect, veto power over anybody, including my blog will probably be taken off because I'm pro-freedom, and many of these countries around the world are dictatorships.
Scary stuff indeed. Dr. Lamero, we always appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. Good to be on with you.
Take care. All right, that's Dr. Gerard Lamero, Kevin Miller in the Morning here at 580KIDO, talking about the web. And coming up tomorrow, we're going to be at Boise High, our final school of the year. Hard to believe. And we're getting in and out before Thanksgiving holiday, before the kids get ready for finals. Boise High, and as we've said before, where this station was born 85 years ago, we'll be at Boise High one more time. Looking forward to that. Phone numbers here, 580-5436, courtesy of our friends at CapEd Credit Union. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
On Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, coming up, why the judge voided the $60 million school broadband contract. Funny how that ruling came down after the election. Plus, Al Sharpton speaks about crackers. That doesn't fire you up this morning. Why don't we start with that, Sweet William?
Damn it, you know. For
We have this from the Huffington Post from Mark Lamont Hill interviewing Representative Charlie Rangel of New York.
Well, you said the Tea Party, it's the same group we face in the South with those white crackers and the dogs and police. So people say, all right, maybe the observation is right, but when you start saying cracker, people feel uncomfortable.
I thought that was a term of endearment, you know. And
you thought cracker was a term of endearment?
And they're so proud of their heritage and all the things they believe in. But I
tell
you,
Tea Party.
Yes, I can tell you this. With all of the feelings I have against these people that have been against justice, fair play, equality, and the freedoms as we know it, if I offended them by calling them a white cracker, for that I apologize. For the rest of it, there's a lot that has to be done here. And I never, with the names I've been called, I never really put cracker in that category. But I certainly would like to have dinner with some of the people that were offended. I'm certain they wouldn't want to talk with me anyway. But I'm glad you raised it because it shows how ridiculous it is. A guy from Lenox Avenue is in the Congress, calls people that.
There we have it. Charlie Rangel probably going on and on saying swear words, which we don't say here at 580KIDO. And it, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, sent this to me this morning, and I'm thinking to myself, well, if it were the other way around, look, there's a clip that I didn't play, and maybe we'll get to it in a week or two, of the First Lady talking about rewarding people if they vote correctly to eat fried chicken. Now, if I lived in the South, if this were Birmingham or Dallas or what have you, we'd be talking about that, but is there any point to positively trying to further our great state, our great area by showing the hypocrisy? Charlie Rangel does not represent America. When he says the Tea Party and their racist past, Charlie, you ever lived in the South? I've lived in the South. The days of the dogs and the hoses are over. They have museums to that, so it never happens again. The people that are in the Tea Party that are vilified in this state, my friend, is totally false and slanderous accusations. But I guess whatever gets you through the day. We go to Gene in CUNA at 580KIDO. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, my brother. Sorry I haven't gotten a hold of you. I kind of backed off on my route this morning so I could talk to you. You know, Kevin, it seems like I get really cranky if I don't get my fix. Talk to Kevin Miller in the morning. Is that wrong or what?
You are living the dream.
I wouldn't say I'm living the dream, but at least I'm making a little money at it. So I guess we're okay.
It pays to listen to Kevin Miller. There we go.
Yeah, that's right. And I get real cranky if I don't get to listen to Kevin Miller. So, I don't know. If that's wrong, I guess it's wrong. If it's right, cool. We're good. But I wanted to tell you something about this internet deal. I think it's all about total mind control. I think that the president wants to indoctrinate all kinds of mind control in our kids. And, that way he can have whatever he wants, or his predecessor can do whatever he or she wants with our young people. And by having the internet open and running all the time, and why do you think he would, or anybody would, put just computers in schools and no more books, no more hard copies, no more softbacks so that they can take them home, do their homework. You know, it's like, okay, it's here in school. Your computer's right here. This is where you come to do your work. And then through that computer, I believe there's all kinds of messages on the computer that are geared to what is coming on this nation.
And hey, Kevin, here the scary thing is, Gene, Cheryl Atkinson, the former reporter from CBS, said they were spying on her through Skype.
Oh, yeah. Man. No, it's not only Skype, but Google as well. There was a message come across my computer one time, this was about a year ago, that I was doing some searches online for my biological parents. And the message come on the line says, you really don't want to find them. You really don't need to find your real parents. you know, your real parents are right here in this country. And it's like, I'm thinking, like, where did that come from? And it was like a worm that just crawled in the computer. And I got to thinking about that, and my wife and I kept talking about that. And we talked to others about it, and others had received not that kind of message, but similar things that come on their computers when they were on Google. So we quit using Google, but then, you know, who knows? I mean, they'll get on Yahoo, they'll get on whatever else happens to be there, Kevin. But listen, enough of my rant and raves. I really feel blessed that I have a radio host that I can actually talk to, actually tells the truth, and actually makes me feel better about myself. I'm really happy to know you, Kevin, and I really feel blessed to know you.
I'm blessed to know you, and look, I'm blessed that you are with us.
Well, I don't know, but I'm good for a laugh. Hey, I got something for you.
Okay.
Do you know why blondes don't eat pickles anymore, right?
Wait a minute. This is a yuck yuck segment now?
Might be.
Okay. No, why?
Okay, because they can't get their heads out the jars.
You get a zinger for that.
Okay. All right, my friend. I love you. We'll see you down on Garrity.
I love you, Gene. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now.
How do you top that one? Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Gatekeepers deciding which sites you get to access. There are no toll roads on the information superhighway. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your private health insurance plan, you can keep your plan. Period.
And if you've got health care, we're going to work with your employer to lower your premiums by $2,500 per family per year.
Giving Idaho a reason to get out of bed. Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Before we go to Alistair Wanklin in China, we go to Terry from State College, Pennsylvania. Hey, you coming out to see us this week or next week, or are you going to freeze with us?
Absolutely.
All right.
The sled, the snowmobile. We're going to take a trip around the parking lot.
That'll be good.
Hey, I just heard Gene. I have an offer for all your listeners. It will be Monday evening, the 17th of this month, at the Caldwell Airport.
Oh, my gosh. You're here to promote your event? You know, I haven't heard from you in years. I get your 27 emails, and sentence number two is, here's my event? What is up? What type of hug is that?
Well, it's for everybody's safety and security.
Oh, my goodness. We're not here for safety and security. We're here to have fun.
Rock and roll. Who's the band that's coming?
Oh, my goodness. Terry.
Kevin.
My goodness gracious.
I miss you.
You miss me?
Yeah, I catch 1 and 2 minute blips on the way out the door to my tractor in the morning.
I'm nothing more than a blip to you.
I'm sorry, I don't make the blips. I just catch the blips.
All right, well, here's the skinny. Tell us about your big event, because we might have to boot you off to go to China, but you better come out and see me.
Oh, you know I'm coming out to see you. It'll be more than once. I'm moving in. I bought my own camper. How about if I pulled in beside yours?
That's right. That is correct.
Yes, the big event. We've got a computer security expert coming in.
Are you going to be prizes? Everybody. Are they going to have prizes?
Well, the prize is you're going to learn how to keep those people that you don't want to listen or to watch or to read your emails.
Sure.
How about that?
Yeah, I suppose.
You can get handouts for everybody. You can go home and say, I'm now going to have a secure computer. And I say, good night. Goodbye.
Is that really possible?
We're going to ask him. He's the expert.
Are you still promoing this thing? I mean, have we moved on to something else? Maybe something fascinating about me?
Well, there's many things fascinating about you, but I can't pick the subject right off the top of my head.
So when is it? When is it? Well, it's tomorrow night or tonight?
No, Monday night, the 17th, at 6:30 at the Caldwell
Airport. I'm sorry. I'm urging people not to go to that because that's the start of Miller's mission, and you could hang out with me and freeze at the Walmart.
Well, we're going to go from the cold to the nice warm room.
I see. So that is, what time does it start at the Caldwell Airport?
At 6:30.
All right. I've missed you.
Oh, we missed you, too. We're going to come out. We're going to have a party in the parking lot.
You know, that's what
everybody.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Terry. But that's the cool thing about when we go on location. It's the show just starts at 9 o'clock. It doesn't end. You see it. People come all day. You've been there more than anybody else. You're like my co-host for the day.
Well, it's definitely a warm-up event for what's coming for the winter. You know, and we've got an event, too, which we'll talk about it to you in person, which should definitely be helping the shelter also.
All right. Well,
Terry,
we'll
talk about that later.
Terry, I got to run. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a good day.
Our great friend, Terry from State College, Pennsylvania. Alistair, I know I have to be brief, but I have a confession to make to you. Alistair?
What's that?
Alistair Wanklin, our great friend. You know, I wanted to talk to you for like 7 days now that you've been in China, and we had Simon Owen on, and I called him Alistair. And then I go, well, I thought you were in China. He goes, I think you have something missed. And I said, well, I have Alistair envy.
Yeah, it's fun to be here, and it's fun to watch all the trivial stuff around the summit, which is not what President Obama intended to do, but he gets caught up in it. You remember when he was filmed chewing gum getting out of a vehicle? Chinese bloggers made hay with that. Gumgate, it became known. This was a little... They considered it a kind of a moment where he forgot where he was, forgot who he was, President Obama, perhaps chewing nicotine gum. Who knows? He's been trying to kick his cigarette habit. There was also a moment where President Putin of Russia was seen draping a shawl around the shoulders of the wife of the Chinese president. And the censors here, the television censors, did not like that. They quickly cut away, and that video has not been seen since on Chinese state television. It's pretty innocuous for you or me, but at least in China, it seems that was an undignified moment they didn't want to be caught showing.
Alistair, I have two quick questions. Number one, have you missed us here in Idaho with Kevin Miller? And number two, what's it like in China as far as culturally?
Yeah, Kevin, I miss you very much, of course, and always an honor to talk to you. China's fun. I've only been there a couple of days. I'm based in Tokyo usually, but China, it's kind of rough out there on the street. It's going to be a superpower one day, but if you look at it on the street, it really looks like it's kind of Soviet Union with a little bit of investment. So I would, whenever China brags about its strength and its population size, take that with a bit of salt because, for many people, it's really a difficult old existence, as I'm sure recent immigrants to the United States will tell you.
Well, Alistair, we need to talk to Crystal and everybody else. You need to get back in the rotation.
Well, thank you. Yes, no, I do from time to time, but when I moved to Japan, I kind of went half-time with Fox News, so it's my honor to talk to you on occasion.
Well, we miss you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Take care, Alistair. Be careful.
Thank you. You too.
All right, our great friend Alistair Wanklin joining us. You know, that's the thing. You know, sometimes the sense of humor doesn't translate and transfer. Like when I thought we were going to Alistair, but it was Simon, but I thought Simon was Alistair. Now, I know what you're going to say. Well, they all sound the same. Well, you could say that about us. People in New York sound like the same people in Alabama. Well, no, not really. But anyway, that's an attempt at humor. And what's really happening in China, we've got to be careful because they've got the censors there. They've got the people monitoring Alistair and everything else. So just part of our attempt to give you the best quality of information and opinion each and every morning. By the way, were you listening to Alex Jones last night? I was listening to Alex Jones, and Alex Jones said the goofiest thing. Okay, it wasn't goofy because Alex is a very true and tried patriot, but he was talking about, well, if I were a terrorist, I would blow up Denver, Colorado. The guy called in, hey, Alex, I live in Colorado Springs.
Well, that's where they have Norcom and Norco and everything else.
Oh, Norco's a company here.
DEFCOM and everything else. That's where I'd bomb if I were a terrorist, but I'm not a terrorist. I'm not a tough guy.
And I'm thinking, man, could you imagine if those comments were taken out of context, as innocuous as they may be? And that really goes back to net neutrality. That goes back to censorship. That goes back to Cheryl Atkinson, the former CBS reporter, now publisher of the Daily Signal, detailing that the government, our government, actually was spying on her through Skype. Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about that next. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO. It is 647. Time for traffic.
Weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
651, briefly talking about the dumb comments of Charlie Rangel at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Charlie Rangel was interviewed by Dr. Lamont Hill, a provocative guy who doesn't have a problem playing the race card. And let's face it, if Charlie Rangel had said this about black people or white people, instead of white people, he would be recalled. It shows you that, you know, and there's a new study that the N-word is said now more than ever, thanks to President Obama. And I don't know the resentment. I can't understand why people like Charlie Rangel resent people in America. I mean, he plays us for a fool in this clip. You'll hear it in a minute, where he calls white people, Tea Party people, crackers, and thinks it's a term of endearment, number one. Number two, then you have a superstar that I've never really cared for, Rihanna, who's a big deal with the kids. And, oh, I love Rihanna! Talking about the best part of going to the White House is that you have a black president. Now, imagine if a white person said that about a white president. I mean, the race baiters are winning, unfortunately. It's empowering people to be divisive. It's a double standard that has been going on in this country for years when it comes to race. Now, there are some places where race doesn't matter. It would be here in Idaho. You have people coming in from Muslim countries. You have people that practice their faith faithfully being Muslims here that we have no issue with. You have white people, black people, whatever people living here, and it's the Idaho experience where everybody is just nice and accepting. Of course, the national narrative doesn't play into that, but imagine if Charlie Rangel had said this. Oh, I don't know, if Charlie Rangel were a congressman from Idaho.
The dogs and police. So people say, all right, maybe the observation is right, but when you start saying cracker, people feel uncomfortable.
I thought that was a term of endearment, you know. And
you thought cracker was a term of endearment?
And they're so proud of their heritage and all the things they believe in. But I
tell
you,
Tea Party.
Yes, I can tell you this. With all of the feelings I have against these people that have been against justice, fair play, equality, and the freedoms as we know it.
You would think that we were
calling them a white cracker. For that, I apologize. For the rest of it, there's a lot that has to be done here.
Right. You would think that we're living in 1968 as opposed to 2014. Rangel's still living in the past, unfortunately. And it's hurtful and it's spiteful. And it leaves an impression. The fact that America, predominantly white, no matter what people say, elected a black president not once but twice. And then you have, it always amazed me, and at the time when I was contributing to CNN, they always kind of liked me because they would just drop me on my head amongst the race baiters and just throw me in there. And I never had a problem defending the beauty of America. And it always is impressive to me in a derogatory way when you have somebody like Rihanna or a sports star talking about the racism of America today. When you look at the predominantly the people that are in our entertainment, they're in the minority community. They do very well. And yet we take a look and listen to Rihanna saying this. Now, again, imagine if this were a country music star who had just toured the White House talking to President Bush.
Rihanna, what's the best thing about visiting the White House?
My president being black.
Okay. Is the Lincoln bedroom real big? Is it a good one?
There we have it, our president being black. And, of course, the crybabies at the White House that if you criticize the president, you're a racist. Well, shame on all of them. Shame on Rihanna.
Shame on Charlie Rangel. Shame on the White House for ginning this stuff up. As I've talked to you about many times, you have Gabriella Douglas, the African-American female gymnast that won the gold medal. Not many people gave her a shot. Single mom, sent her to Iowa, with living with white people, homeschooled by white people, trained by a Chinese guy, former Chinese gymnast coach, wins the gold medal. See, and maybe it's just because we have this self-loathing, or people want to encourage the self-loathing of the United States of America. Look at our military. Look at everything else that unites us, and yet we have these divisive, unfortunate characters. And it doesn't help when you have the First Lady saying everybody's going to get fried chicken if you vote for President Obama. Again, if one person can't say it, then no one can say it. If one person cannot say the N-word because of race, because of history, then the other person should be big enough to refrain from it as well. It can't be a term of endearment for one person because of the shared struggle, and usually the shared struggle is among multimillionaires, either in athletics or entertainment, that actually have profited off the people that they say have oppressed them. I know that's heavy stuff, but darn it, if we don't start sticking up for what's good and what's right and holding these folks accountable for their ignorant statements, then I don't know what type of country we're going to have as far as a future. When you can make fun of people because they happen to be white, look at Brad Paisley at, what was it, the CMAs or what have you? He said whiteness, the new series on country music television, and people called him a racist. There's a show on ABC called Blackness. Is that not racist? We've got to eliminate these divisive double standards. And again, Rangel should be censored, should be held accountable. He's a congressman for saying those things about God-fearing, tax-paying, freedom-loving Americans. Let's get you to traffic at 580 KI. I don't know. I'm confused. Is it going to snow? Is it going to rain? Keep it here for details. Thank you, Larry. Coming up next, can we stop the amnesty push by the president, Kevin Miller? Serving Emmett.